Talking about mental health concerns can feel difficult at any age. Saying I'm depressed or I need help is hard for anyone, but it may be even harder for those from older generations, those who were told to just buck up or pull themselves up by their bootstraps. But no matter your age, it's important to take care of your mental well-being. Today, we're talking about older adults, mental health, and resources that are available to help. Welcome to the Think Tank Podcast. Hi, everyone. This is Amy Hopkins, and I'm here with Brig Dunsmore. We're both licensed mental health therapists. How you doing, Brig?
I'm great, Amy. I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Today, we're talking about mental health and the older generation and resources. And you had the opportunity to interview a very special guest. Why don't you tell us about that?
Great. Thank you. I did. I spoke with Mark, who works for United Way in Georgia, and we had a great conversation about older adults, some of the challenges they face, some of the things that put them at risk for mental health issues, and we really focused a lot on some of the resources that are available to them.
That sounds awesome, Brig. Let's check it out.
Well, I'm very glad to be joined today by Mark Madison. Mark serves as the Director of Community Impact with United Way of Northeast Georgia. He coordinates the Community Impact Grant process and volunteers. He oversees 211 and facilitates collaborations with local nonprofits. Mark moved to Athens, Georgia to attend the University of Georgia, where he obtained both his bachelor's and master's degrees in communications and public administration, respectively. With a desire to connect nonprofits to each other and people in need, he started answering 211 calls as a volunteer while in college. He officially joined the staff of United Way of Northeast Georgia in 2016. Mark works with the community organizations, lending his perspective and connections wherever he can. Mark, so glad to have you with us today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Brig. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Maybe the place to start, I mean, I talked a little bit about you and kind of how you got your start here, but can you tell us a little bit more about you and kind of your work with aging adults?
For sure. So my name's Mark, as you already know, but I get to work at United Way of Northeast Georgia. And the coolest thing about United Way is we get to look at work with community level challenges. So we don't just look at what's impacting one particular individual in this moment or this isolated issue. We look at how issues kind of overlap with one another. And so a lot of what we've seen when it comes to older adults is as we try to look at early childhood success, we see grandparents raising grandchildren. As we see workforce development, we see poverty in our communities, we see and also when we talk about equity and inclusion, we see how easy it is to overlook someone who might be aging, somebody who's not as connected into the workforce. And one really interesting piece of how we've worked with folks as they're aging is, you know, a lot of people actually connect with United Way, especially through the workplace. In fact, our biggest thing is connecting with workplaces. And lots of folks reach out to say, how do we still take part after we leave the workforce? And that's a big part of what you and I plan to talk about today, I think, in people who are aging and mental health is that camaraderie, that sense of belonging, that sense of place and space when you're working alongside other people to accomplish some things at the workplace. And so we've gotten to connect with some senior volunteers. In fact, I had some, awesome folks help us answer or do follow-up calls for 211, which is a helpline. It's just to want to check in on people, see, did you get the help you needed? Were we able to make that connection? They just absolutely loved making that phone call and being able to check up on somebody. And so we've had some really great experience with that. We've had some awesome connections with Barnacle Meals on Wheels. The Area Agency on Aging is an organization we get to refer folks to through 211. And that's probably the biggest connection. Just getting to chat with people and say, you know, what's going on? It's probably not just one thing. It's probably a few things. But there is somebody on the other end of that line that can help figure it out.
That's great. And I think you're so right. It's bigger than just one thing. And I really love how you talk about United Way and being able to look at multiple factors that are impacting our seniors and aging adults. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mark, maybe just to throw out some statistics for people who may not know, you know, just talking about the numbers of people. So according to the World Health Organization, as of 2019, there were 709 million adults 60 and over. So that's That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think more importantly is when you talk about such a large number of people, it's important for us to recognize also that over 20% of adults age 60 and over suffer from some sort of mental or neurological disorder that isn't a normal part of their aging. Mm-hmm. Depression, dementia seem to be the most common. They affect 5% and 7% of the world's older population, respectively. Anxiety disorders also impact 3.8%. Also, a thing that's a huge concern is the rates of death by suicide in the older population. Mm-hmm. 25% of deaths by suicides occur in people aged 65 and older, which is by far the largest group. In fact, men over the age of 85 have a suicide rate of 45.23 per 100,000 compared to 11 per 100,000 for all ages. Mm-hmm. So very, very big things.
Yeah.
I think that another important thing to hold on to there is while we're talking about people that are experiencing a lot of mental health issues, studies also indicate that 80% of older adults recovered from depression after receiving treatment. So there's definitely hope. They don't have to stay there. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, in your work, what kinds of things do you see as far as mental health and how it affects our older adults?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that I think incredibly what you just mentioned is it's a similar kind of scenario that we see a lot of the same folks. You see when you, especially the statistic you shared, that four times the rate of individuals men 85 and over suffering from suicide. And we see a similar thing in veteran populations and even in millennial males, people who have had a camaraderie, may it be through work or through the military or through something, or potentially have experienced traumatic things and then move into a space outside of a social group or aren't as connected, don't have as high a degree of connectedness as maybe their peers that are of another gender or peers that have a different work background or are still working. And I think that's something that we see across the scope of our work, but what we especially want to try to do is make the access point for people as easy as possible. We saw this during a lot of rental assistance and even vaccine promotion work, that it's fabulous that there were rollouts and lots of online applications, because a lot of applications and different things to get signed up and registered were online. It disproportionately made it challenging for folks who don't have as much experience with the internet, experience using computers, experiencing maybe using their phone, which might be their only connection to the internet, to get resources, able to access those, while humongous resources and available resources, maybe not as accessible to them. So a lot of our work when it comes to seniors, we really want to make things as accessible as possible, not just available. Because it's one thing for it to be there. It's another thing for that person to be able to reach it. And so our biggest factor for doing that is 211, which actually is a helpline. I'd love to talk about just a little bit, that so anyone can call. There's a 211 ready to answer the phone in over 95% of the United States right now. So if you dial the number 211 on your phone, the person's actually waiting on the other end of that line. They either work for a local United Way or another local nonprofit running the 211 line for your area, and they can help connect the dots to what's your need, what's the local resource based on your zip code that can help you out. So it's not just a massive national database. It is that, but it's also tailored for where a person is and they get to talk to somebody. And I actually used to get to answer those calls. So I've spoken to many a senior and other people trying to figure out, where do I go to get food? Oh, it's not just food this week that's the problem. It's actually something bigger. Okay, well, let's talk about what we can do next then and try to figure that out.
That's a fantastic resource. I mean, it helps you to have another person on the line that actually will personally connect you with the resources that are out there. I mean, we know that often people they're not aware of the resources that are out there, and having that kind of a resource is great. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things I'm hearing you say is not only is it their ability to access those resources and connect, but it's also this sense of connection with others. You know, you mentioned people who have come out of the military. You talk about in our older population, I think one of the things that is a significant risk factor is just the fact that they retire and they don't feel as connected to peers at work, maybe the supports and resources that they had access to through their work.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think a lot of us maybe got a lot of other folks and other groups got a little taste of it during the pandemic of, you know, not maybe having that check-in, that moment of just, you know, eye to eye seeing another individual. It does make a difference. But I think that another thing to talk about, you mentioned folks over 60 and over 65. You know, it's a remarkably diverse group when you're talking about people over 60 and 65. You know, there are some that are up and at it, and you know, they're they're ready, raring to go physically, and but still mentally, that doesn't necessarily equivalent to everything being just fine. I think it's not necessarily a natural part of aging to experience depression and anxiety. Those things can come on. But one really powerful thing we like to talk about, and I hear a lot of our social work friends talk about in our space, is the ability for someone to kind of engage themselves with their challenge and be a resource for themselves. And I think that's something that, you know, while it's awesome for folks who are younger to reach out by phone to connect with people, it's also, you know, there are other peers in that same group that can call one another and be that social connector for them. I think of my parents who are in their mid late 60s themselves, and they do an awesome job serving their other friends who happen to have this or that occurring at this time. And those connections can make a huge difference, just having that person that consistently checks in.
You talk a lot again about connection, and I think that, as I mentioned earlier, there are some risk factors for our older adults, right? And definitely that connection is a big one. I think that they lose, often older adults, when they hit retirement, they lose that connection with people that they see every day, friends, a lot of different relationships. And I think that also a struggle for them is that there may be a drop in their income when they retire, which creates a risk for them. So I think that our older adults really, they're more likely to experience isolation and loneliness. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they also see things like a decline in functioning and just the things that they're able to do. And I think that they find themselves in a place where they're more likely to start losing friends or family members, and they may deal with bereavement. Mm-hmm. And all of those things contribute a lot to, I think, the mental health issues and, mm-hmm. and things that they are dealing with. Do you see that very often in the adults that you work with?
Yeah, I think we see it. We have connections with some different organizations that particularly Meals on Wheels, connecting to individuals and trying to be that person that shows up at the door, dropping off the meal, making a connection, seeing. It's not really just about that, you know, the provision of a meal for those folks that are experiencing that drop in income. They're also experiencing, no one's necessarily seeing them that day, that week, that month. We don't know how you're doing.
Right.
We don't necessarily know if someone's calling to check in or to find out. And a lot of times when we talk about those co-occurring factors, you know, someone who's experiencing anxiety or depression sometimes can not necessarily feel like eating, lose their appetite. They may not feel like, and then not eating or not carrying on like that might then impact your physical health even more. So you can sometimes have those compounding factors when you talk about the adverse effects that people experience when they start to have a mental health challenge. But at the same time, we know that there are some ways to mitigate that, to potentially interject some of those connections to hopefully be able to provide resources for folks, not only in the space that they're currently in, but potentially even to move into a new space that has more connection for them. That could be something that could be really helpful for a lot of individuals as well.
I love what you're talking about. You know, again, just the fact that you're able to look at multiple factors, multiple things, you're able to help engage people in programs and services that are attending to more than just one need. You know, I love that example of Meals on Wheels and just having a person be able to check on them, which is so much more than just providing a meal. So that is incredible. That is incredible. Are there other resources that are out there that you're aware of that would be helpful to our older adults?
Yeah, the big, I mean, I know I've said it already, but I really do think 211 is such a great connection because it's easy to remember. It's a real person on the other end, and they're going to connect folks to that local resource right around them. So like right here, I'm based in Athens, Georgia. We have the Athens Community Council on Aging that does a fabulous job, has a senior center that helps folks during the day. They operate the Meals on Wheels program that we are more than happy to get to fund right now as a grantee of ours. We have the Area Agency on Aging. That is another organization in our area that provides especially supports to the rural counties in our area. But then we also know that across the country, you can reach out to a lot of those same agencies on aging, elder care locators, and other things like that. But really the best connection point for folks is to dial that number 211. Go to 211.org. And the reason I say that is it's just so much easier to remember than so many other ones I could rattle off right now. But reaching out to those, either getting that local number from 211.org or just dialing 211, they'll get you to the right place. I've been that person on the other end, and I know the people that are answering now, they're always there to respond.
From what you're saying, there are organizations, groups that are there and available to help and be resources, and the access point is 211. I agree, that's so simple. And I think sometimes we worry about some of our older adults and their memory, but to be quite honest, I think that all of us have a hard time remembering things, and, keeping it simple like that is fabulous and helpful for everyone.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Mark, is there anything else that you'd like to add as far as different things that are there for people, or any advice that you would give our listeners?
I'd say the only thing that I'd say is, as far as advice, is that to remember, and people say this all the time in the social service sphere, is just the give that everyone has something to give. It just might be different or more. And so if there's somebody listening that isn't an older adult, just remembering that you reaching out to a person and connecting with them isn't just a gift to them. It'll be one for you. Very much like it was such a gift for me to get to speak to my grandparents when they were alive. And even as my mom's dad went through dementia and my dad's dad went through Alzheimer's, and I'm still even getting to be near them, of getting to speak and the moments of getting to connect with them were so huge that I wouldn't trade the time of sitting there and neither of us having much to say. I would have that right over again, just have those moments of them getting to say the little bits and the moments of recognition that were there. So it's for the person that is experiencing the challenge, but also for the people who are willing to reach out and to connect. It's very easy for us to not see very small kids, and it's very easy not to see older adults because they're not in school and they're not working. But they're some of the most critical folks that we get to interact with.
That's so true. Mark, thank you so much. Mark Madison, the Director of Community Impact with United Way of Northeast Georgia. We appreciate your time today, Mark. Thank you.
No matter your age, your mental health matters. There's no extra points for suffering, and it shows great strength to recognize and reach out for help when you need it. Thanks for joining me on the Think Tank podcast. See you next time.